Well, we appreciate the Lord this morning and appreciate His Word. And I sure ask the Lord and ask your prayers that the Lord would make this time special for all of us. I wrote on the board the word believe. Believing is pretty important, isn't it? If we don't believe, we won't be planted in the Lord's ground. We won't let His seed be planted in our ground. And we know that it requires that to be able to grow in the Lord and to have life. I want to read over here in John 20 and 27. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Now Thomas had some time before said, if I don't see the prints in his hand, and the place in his side, and put my hand in it, I believe he said, I won't believe. But you know, Jesus appeared to Thomas and he said, here, Thomas, put your finger in there. Here, Thomas, put your hand in my side. You know, Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Thomas got a revelation there that he had only partially had before. And at that point, things became real in a way for Thomas, I believe, that was never to be taken away from him. He saw it with his own eyes. He experienced it himself. And Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen me, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. That's why it's so important. If we don't believe, we can try to have life in a thousand different ways. And we met a man one time. We picked up a hitchhiker when we were young and brought him home, in fact, and he spent the night at our place. But he was on his way to California because he was wanting to find himself. I've always wondered what happened to that boy. And he had a big story and all these things. But he was trying to find life. He was trying to find something that only can be found in Jesus Christ. And John, the writer here, says these are written. He said there's a lot of other things that were done that aren't written in this book. But we've wrote these things so that you might believe. And so that believing, you might have life through His name. You know, there's something wonderful about life, isn't there? There's something about putting a seed in the ground that has life in it. And it seems to die, but it sprouts forth, doesn't it? And what's the evidence of it? Well, you can see it growing, can't you? You can see something happening. Do you know that these 11 apostles, after Judas denied the Lord and treacherously sold the Lord, you know the other 11 went on and gave everything they had the rest of their life. And they sealed it with their blood. All but John. And they wanted, according to church tradition, they tried to boil him. They wanted to kill John. They put him out on the Isle of Patmos where God started visiting him, and we have the book of Revelation as a result. You know, these men were convinced. They believed. And because they believed, they had life. And because they had life, they gave their lives. And they sealed it. They gave their all to the Lord. This morning, I want to encourage us to believe. Do you know that Judas believed too? You know he believed? Because when he saw that they were actually going to crucify him. See, Jesus had all power in heaven and earth, and Judas knew that. And he figured Jesus would just evaporate out of their hands or something. I don't know what he thought. But he wasn't worried about selling Jesus because he was going to get 30 pieces of silver, enough to buy a piece of property, okay, a piece of land. And he was going to get 30 pieces of silver, and then Jesus was probably going to be fine. And he was going to be a heretic, and he knew it. But when he saw what was happening, what did he do? He came back in. He threw those 30 pieces of silver down. He said, "This is innocent blood." He told, "This is innocent blood. I have betrayed innocent blood." Something to that effect. You know, this morning, Judas believed, but he acted on his fleshly desires. Folks, I want to tell you something. God has given enough to every one of us to believe. And if he hasn't yet, if we will ask him, he will. I believe he knew Thomas wanted to do the right thing. And God met Thomas, didn't he? And God met Peter, didn't he? And God's going to meet you and me. He's met me before, I'll tell you that. I remember the lowest point in my life, or one of the lowest points, and I just didn't see how I could go on. I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, I want to go on, but I don't know how I can." Do you know the Lord met me that night? One of the most real ways he's ever met me. And lifted me up, and from that time, my faith began to grow. I want to tell you something. God's interested. He didn't send a son for no reason. He's interested in you and me, and he wants us to believe. And if we don't believe, we're never going to plant ourselves in the Lord, are we? And there's never going to be anything grow up because we're going to be trying to grow up on our own. That's not the way it happens with the seed. It grows up because of life. There's life in the soul that Jesus Christ wants to put there that only comes by us giving ourselves completely to him. And so when we try to do it on our own or any other way, we'll still just be a seed. We'll still just have a seed, however you want to say it or think it. I want to tell you something. The Lord wants there to be growth and life and green and fruit. And he wants our life to be a blessing. And he wants us to believe enough that we give the rest of our life for it. Is it true that God can reveal himself to you and me in such a way that we will never turn back? I believe he wants to do that. And I believe he will do that. But there's a part that we play. And Judas didn't put that part in, did he? Judas had something else he wanted besides the Lord. And he chose that, knowing that this Lord is real, knowing that God... Folks, God is very real. And I tell people a lot of times, and I don't boast in this except I boast in the Lord. The Lord reveals himself to us. I never had a clue how real God was. Do I feel that every day? No, I don't, but I know it. And I live by faith. And from time to time, he reveals himself again and again in awesome ways. And he'll do it for every one of us this morning. Oh. Oh, listen. I pray that the Lord would touch our hearts to long after that revelation in our heart of Jesus Christ. And that pure heart that will follow that revelation this morning. You know, Luke 24 and 44, I've printed my scriptures, so I may not turn to every one of them, but I want to read these scriptures. Luke 24 and 44 says, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Now, what we just read was that Jesus wanted these people here. He said, I spoke to you these words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. Everything that Moses wrote, that the prophets wrote from the beginning of the world, all those things, they must be fulfilled. Do you know that Jesus wants us to search those things out? Were they fulfilled? Were there not hundreds of prophecies? And were they not fulfilled? Do we not have something right there to believe in? The very fact that they wrote hundreds of years before Christ, people wanted to deny that, oh, somebody somewhere concocted all of this, and now they keep finding older and older things, the Dead Sea Scrolls. Now they're finding, before Christ ever came, they're finding those writings where they were written before that time. That's beautiful, isn't it? How would the Lord preserve that for us so that we might believe? Then opened he their understanding, Luke 24 and 45, that they might understand the scriptures. Do you know this morning, I really believe that the Lord wants us to understand his ways. And there might be things we struggle with for a long time, and then the Lord one day, when we need it the most, just opens our understanding. That's what Jesus did here. He went along with those two men on the road to Emmaus. You remember that? The end of Luke. And we find him talking with them and telling them all about the prophecies and what had happened. And their eyes were holding or whatever. They didn't recognize who this was. And finally, when they recognized it, you know what they said to each other? Did not our heart burn while we talked by the way? Wasn't our heart burning? Wasn't there something in there that was amazing? This is something. Doesn't our heart burn, folks? Oh, listen, the Lord wants to appear to us. And he wants to reveal to us. The Bible is a book. The Bible is many books with many chapters. It's full of the revelations of God's mind. You know, I want us to just think about that this morning. The Bible is full of the revelation of God's mind. But I will tell you, there are how many hundreds maybe of religions based on the Bible? All kinds of thoughts and ideas. But I will tell you something. Jesus wants to come along and he wants to reveal some things to us that we will have the rest of our life. He wants to do that. He wants to reveal some things to us about his thoughts about these things, what they mean when they're written. And I will tell you, when you get real serious about it, we're going to all kind of come pretty close to the same thoughts, aren't we? We are. And you look at people that really study the Bible, really want to serve God in all godliness and honesty, and I'll tell you, you'll see them coming closer and closer to the same thing, won't you? And the Lord wants to jump in there and walk along with us and begin to reveal himself. I want to just look at some of the things that last week before Jesus was crucified. I've read everything there is about it in the four Gospels lately. Again, I've read all through John from 12 on, in fact, before 12, on to the end of John and the last chapters of Luke, three chapters, I believe, and Matthew and Mark. And I want to tell you something. Jesus was fixed on fulfilling all things. Now, I'll tell you something else he was fixed on. He was fixed on being the sacrifice for you and me. Can we take that in? We sang songs this morning about the love of God. I want to encourage us this morning. There are 1,000 voices in the world today. And they say all kinds of things about God and about Jesus. But I want to tell you something. God is love. And God wants to reveal that love to you in your heart in a way that makes you just want to give your life. You know why we give our lives? Because a piece of God that gave his life is down in us. And it changes our hearts, doesn't it? It comes by us not only being born again, okay, but following after those things, eating His flesh and drinking His blood, reading His words, taking them into our lives and growing. And while we're digging and growing, you know what others are seeing? They're seeing a green plant that maybe we don't even see. And maybe we're struggling, and maybe we're... I want to tell you something this morning. Let's realize the Lord wants us to believe. And He wants us to believe and have life through His name. And then He wants to begin to work in our lives through that life in His name to bring others to that place. Oh, there's a lot more to this world, folks, than the things around us. There's a lot more than the pleasures of life or the good things that we can get in this life. So this morning, I just want to encourage us today. The Lord has so much good for us today. I'm sold on it. John 12 and 12, it says, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet Him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when He had found a young ass, sat thereon, a donkey, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not His disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of Him, and that they had done these things unto Him. Do you know that that day that He rode into Jerusalem, it would be, I always thought it was Sunday, but I've realized it's Monday. It was the triumphant entry. Read the scriptures and study it. And you know, Zechariah, over 500 years before that, you know what he said? Zechariah 9 and 9, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy King cometh unto thee. You know the Jews knew that this was a prophecy of Christ? Your King's coming. Your King's coming. In a jet airplane. And does it say that? With great grandeur. Does it say that? No. It doesn't say that, because He's coming clear down to reach the very lowest person there is. And so it says here, thy King cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Do you know that when Jesus sent those two disciples and He sent them, He said, you go and you'll find the donkey and the colt there with him, and you bring him. And if they ask, you tell them the Master has need of him. And you know, this morning, don't we love those things? How many prophecies? I know we can only go through a few this morning. I just want to talk about a few. Some of the prophecies Jesus Himself prophesied of while He was in this week. He told what was going to happen on the weekend. He told what was going to happen. Jesus knew beforehand. And so He prophesied constantly. Jesus was completely aware. No one took His life and cornered Him up and caught Him by surprise off in the garden and captured Him. Jesus made Himself available as the only pure person, the only pure being that could by its own volition offer itself. He did that, didn't He? Jesus did that. And He did it so that we, believing in Him, might have life through His name. Oh, this morning, I wish and I hope and I pray every one of us, children, get a hold of the fact that Jesus came to give us life. He has a purpose for our lives. You know what people will say when they've been out in sin for years and years? So many times, all of us, and then they get saved and they start coming to the light, and all of a sudden they have purpose. And they have meaning. And they have life on the inside. We're not preaching a dream. We're preaching what Jesus came to bring. This is the truth. Search it out and find it. Hundreds of years before Jesus said, or God spoke these things through his prophets, telling what was going to happen. And the Jews knew it. We spoke last week a little bit about some of them that we're all aware of. You know, we hear often about the virgin being having a son and all of this. You know, the prophet Isaiah, what, 700 and some years before, told that was going to happen, didn't he? Read about it. Read about it as if he saw it happening. And then it happened, didn't it? Many, many times, many things like this. We find in Matthew 26 and 31, Jesus plainly told his disciples, he said, and as, let's see, 26 and 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. I have been so amazed at the many times that week that the Lord told them over and over, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to smite the shepherd, the prophet said of God. Why? Because the shepherd, the only pure one, Jesus Christ, paid the price for our sins. Paid the price that we might be in the closest place with God and have his very spirit living within our souls. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? And, you know, he says, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I'm risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. He just told them all about what was going to happen before it happened, didn't he? Zechariah 13 and 7 is the one, Zechariah the prophet. See, all these prophets, the Psalms, David prophesied of Jesus. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. Who was that great shepherd? Who was the great shepherd of the sheep? Jesus. What was the sword of the Lord? The justice of God. And he took it out on his own son, that we might be saved. Oh, this morning, I just want us to believe. I know many of us here do believe with all of our hearts. Probably not all of us do. And I just want to encourage every one of us, believe. Seek the Lord. Ask Him. Ask Him that we might believe this morning. You know, Jesus in Matthew 26 and 7, I'm just going to scour over a few places here. There came unto Him a woman, 26 and 7, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Do you think this was news to Jesus, that this was going to happen? Jesus knew full well, as he went through this week, and especially the last day before, he says again and again, we read so many places where he tells them what's fixing to happen. She did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. I love that. I love that story. And I love that saying that Jesus said, it's going to be told for a memorial of her. Do you know that when we pour out of ourselves to the Lord. You know, He takes note of that. He takes note of that. He told us this, I believe, in part, to let us know that He takes note of it. And so, we're reading the story today. So wherever the gospel is going to be preached, this is going to be told. And here we're telling it today. I've heard it many times myself. You know, Jesus in John 4 and 34, I'm going to skip around some verses here real quick. He said, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." That's beautiful, isn't it? Do you know that Jesus very, very, I don't want to use the word doggedly, but that whole time He was preparing, He was putting everything in place. He took care of the feet washing, the Lord's Supper. All this was just previous to His crucifixion, wasn't it? "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." In John 12 and 23, I'll turn to John. "And Jesus answered them, saying, 'The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified.'" Here this is back in the 12th chapter. Now, we're not reading everything chronologically here tonight, this morning. But I want to tell you something. Here, back here from the 12th chapter on, we just find one thing after another where Jesus told them all these kind of things. He says, "The hour's come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Do you know this morning that that fruit that comes forth, Jesus was speaking of Himself. He was talking about Himself being buried, being put in the ground and dying, and the fruit that would come from it. And we're some of the fruit today, aren't we? And then He goes on to say something else. You know, when we begin to follow the Scriptures and the Lord, we begin to find out so much about His thoughts concerning us. He says, "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." If we think we're going to be able to keep our own life, our own identity, our own self, our own wants, desires, and everything, then we're not going to be able to follow the Lord. It's not going to happen. He said, "He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world," or loves it less than the Lord. It doesn't mean we... He doesn't use the word in the sense of hate. If you look at the way it's written and read, it means to love less. "Shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." You know, Jesus was a man as well as God. And He felt this coming on. And He said, "My soul is troubled." He told them. But He says, "Shall I say, Father, save me from this hour?" I want to encourage us today to follow the Lord, and let's take up our cross and let's follow Him. I know it takes the grace of God. I know it's a little fearful for us to put our hands totally in the hands of someone else. But I want to tell you, I believe that's where safety is. That's where eternal life is. "But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify Thy name." I'll read on here. "Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. And Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth," talking about up on the cross, "will draw all men unto me." This He said, signifying what death He should die. And so Jesus, all along through here, He was continuing to press that when he said on the cross, it is finished. His life was finished. His work was finished. The plan of salvation was finished. Isn't that beautiful this morning? And so when he said, it is finished, folks, the prince of this world was cast out. Scripture says, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I want to tell you, if Satan has a place in our life and he's not cast out, the Lord wants to cast him out. The prince of this world is cast out. Now, I know that can be taken different ways there, but I really believe, looking at other scriptures where it talks about the devil being the prince of this world, definitely. You know, this morning, he's cast out. Thank the Lord this morning. I'm looking at people that has overcome. They've overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, by believing, by the grace of God reaching down and reaching even to them. I'm looking at some here this morning. I know the stories. I know some of your stories. I've been there with you. And I've seen the Lord do wondrous things in your lives. Isn't that beautiful this morning? And how God paid this price, and how he, without any faltering, he stayed to the end. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And he calls us to follow him. Folks, let's remember what he did, what he's done, what he said. Let's remember our call. Our call is to follow him all the way. He wants us to believe, and he will. He will help us to believe. John 14 and 9, he said, yet a little while. Now this was just like, I think, the night before, was it not? I didn't look that up again to make sure. But yet a little while and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Listen, we can take hold of these promises. Fight your way through it. Fight your way through the unbelief. Fight your way through the devil's mud balls that he throws at you. Okay? Has he ever thrown a mud ball at you? Just anything. Just casting you down. Just anything to stop you. You know, what you said was stupid. Oh, you testified, did you? Yeah. Everybody laughed. Isn't that the devil?
Yes, it is.
It's awful. But it's true. But I want to tell you something. The Lord has overcome all of those things. And Satan, as lightning, has fallen from his place in the hearts of men. And God has given his grace. He's given his the old kings used to hold out a scepter. Esther, when she came to the king, she was hoping he would hold the scepter out, because she wasn't invited to come. If he didn't hold the scepter out, she got killed. But the Lord, he holds his scepter out to every one of us. Isn't that awesome this morning? John 14 and 26, ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. Well, I'll skip on down to 29. That was 28, part of it. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. You know, Jesus told them, he said, don't let your heart be troubled. These things are going to happen. And also, they're going to persecute you. I don't think it did too much to stop Jesus, did it? John 14 and 30. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. You know what? The prince of the world, the devil, didn't have anything in the Lord, did he? That's why he overcame. Jesus came to bring that clarity to our lives too. Luke 22 and 15. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And who was the Passover? Paul writes it this way. He says, even Christ, our Passover. I believe he says is sacrificed for us. You know, the Lord was our Passover, wasn't he? Oh, this morning, I know there's there's a lot of things we could go on and on. I still have a few more, some more here. Jesus said here, John 17 and 1. You remember John 17? That's the chapter where Jesus prayed for his disciples just before he left. And he said, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy name, thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. In the fourth verse, he goes on to say, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And when Jesus said, it is finished, he expired, didn't he? Oh, the Lord finished a work for us that was complete. It was powerful. He's left us behind his word, his spirit, his power, that we might be his disciples this morning. And then he goes on in the 20th and 21st verse. He says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Those that will believe on me through their word. That's us, isn't it? It goes on down to us. They wrote these things. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. I want to encourage us as a congregation. You know, we are asking God, Lord, bless our people. Bless our congregation. Bless, Lord, and pour out your Spirit. And I want to encourage us to ask the Lord to help us to be one in a greater way. Is that okay? Doesn't mean we're not one. I believe the Lord wants us to be one in a greater way. I believe there's a beauty in the very... I looked when I walked up to the mic to announce service time ready to start this morning. And I looked over the congregation and I saw everybody. It was a blessing to me. I saw them with friendly hearts, with love to one another, speaking to one another. That blessed me. Do you know this morning, we can be one in our marriage. And do you know we can greatly improve it? We can just improve it and improve it. And I don't think we ever stop improving it. We can have that, can't we? That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. I want to tell you, when people walk in, they know the love of God is here. They see the love that's in our heart toward God and toward one another. I want to tell you something. There's something that says God's there. There's something that they say the Lord is there. So this morning I just want to encourage us. It's all of our responsibility, isn't it? It's a beautiful thing too because it's really enjoyable. Well, I have a lot of other things we could go to. But oh, the Lord just so many places he kept telling them about what was coming. You know, Zechariah, he said, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. He spoke of the Lord back there, didn't he? He was talking about Christ there. Talking about the body of Christ. From humble beginnings, the Lord came, didn't he? As far as this life is concerned. You know, the branch, Jeremiah 33 and 14 says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. That's the Lord, isn't it? For unto us is a child born. A child is born. Unto us is a son given. That's Isaiah 9 and 6. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Don't we love that, the Prince of Peace, this morning? Oh, the world is full of all kinds of things. And in fact, in Deuteronomy, Moses told them, the Lord told them, for these nations, God told them, which thou shalt possess, hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him shall ye hearken. And that's to say nothing of the many other things that we find in the prophecies concerning the Lord. How that, as we mentioned, he was going to be born of a virgin. Many, many different things that I won't try to go on today for time's sake. But the Lord bless us today that we might believe. Folks, if we believe, we can have life through his name this morning. You pray for me that I'll have life in his name as well.